Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, July 10th, 2020. Front page, Section A. Evans. Texas in danger of another shutdown. By Caitlin Randall, CRANDLE at MRT.com. Governor Greg Abbott is closely watching the number of coronavirus cases in Midland and Odessa as he decides if another shutdown is needed, according to Midland's Don Evans, a member of the governor's coronavirus task force. The former Secretary of Commerce's remarks came during a press conference Thursday in which he and local officials implored residents to wear masks and take other precautions to stop the spread of the virus. Abbott's laser-focused on Midland, Odessa, Evans said. I also know that he's saying that if we can't turn this trend around in the next couple of weeks or so, there's going to be a serious threat to the economy that has to be shut down again. That's partially because of the strain the virus is putting on local people. When you see beds beginning to disappear that might be able to be available for somebody that, say, is in a car accident or has a heart attack or has something else, you have to keep beds available for that, he said. And when the hospitals get filled up with COVID-19 patients, that just doesn't work. After Midland Memorial Hospital reported they're treating 34 corona patients, the most hospitalizations they've had throughout the pandemic, Abbott announced later that on Thursday that certain counties would once again be required to halt elective surgeries, including Midland and Ector counties. There are exceptions only for surgeries that are immediately or medically necessary or life-saving, according to the executive order. The order only applies to counties that are in danger of having their hospitals overrun if spikes in coronavirus cases continue, leading to the possibility any new restrictions on businesses could be on a county-by-county basis rather than a statewide mandate. Evans said he did not have specific details on when a shutdown could happen or what businesses could be affected. He called on Midlanders to be united in defeating COVID-19, which he described as a common enemy. Wearing a mask should not be viewed as a political issue or a statement, he said. It's really an issue of personal responsibility and our own personal civic duty. MMH opens second virus testing site by Caitlin Randall, CRANDLE at MRT.com. Beginning Friday morning, Midland Memorial will be operating a second drive-through testing location in Southeast Midland, CEO Russell Myers announced Thursday. Officials opted to open a secondary location at Coleman Family Clinic on East Florida Avenue because of concerns residents in the southeast part of the city did not have enough access to testing. Testing at the new location will have the same requirements as the West Campus. Appointments will need to be scheduled through 6-8 nurse, and residents need to have symptoms of the virus or a referral from a primary care physician. Appointments for the Coleman Clinic location will be limited because the hospital is testing new equipment. Staff will be using rapid response machines that turn around results in about an hour. To ensure the machines are working correctly, Myers said they will begin by scheduling about 30 appointments a day at that location, with the hope of increasing that number to 100 appointments a day later on. Peyton. Wearing a mask serves one another. Mayor, we must decide to do the same thing together. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N at HurstNP.com. Mayor Patrick Peyton said Thursday that Midlanders and those around the Permian Basin should take responsibility for looking out for each other, and that means wearing a mask and encouraging others to do the same. The mayor put the focus on returning the community's health to a time in March and April when Midlanders did what was needed at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic to keep their neighbors, coworkers, and families safe. He believes that despite the spikes in coronavirus cases, Midlanders can do it again. It's up to every employer. It's up to every family leader. It's up to every single one of us that when we're in discussions and we hear people say, well, I'm not going to wear a mask, we just need to bow up, quite frankly, and say to our friends, you know, you may not like to do it, and I may not like to do it, but we're going to do it together. We're going to do it for each other. And it really just boils down to public pressure, and it boils down to us deciding we're going to do the same thing together. Thursday's comments during an online press conference weren't about comments about state leaders or executive orders. They weren't about the city of Midland's response. Instead, he echoed comments made Wednesday that Midlanders have to pay a lot more attention to the health of the community, just like we did back in March and April. Peyton, like other local leaders, has seen confirmed cases spike from 129 at the end of May to more than 1,000 this week. This is not something that was just an anomaly for a week or so, Peyton said. We're going to have to get control of this number. He said, taking control of this crisis is a priority, and wearing a face mask will help, especially when social distancing is not possible. He said Midlanders must act responsibly to take the load off the hospital, to get the numbers down, and to get the community's health where it needs to be. I want to join the chorus with our hospital, join the chorus with our health department, and beg you and ask of you that we all do the thing that we need to do and that we may not want to do, but we still need to do it for one another, which is serve one another with this issue of wearing a mask in public places and wearing masks when you cannot control the social distancing and going about this sacrificing together. As I said on my Facebook Live last night, perhaps the greatest gift of freedom is not what it does for me, but what it enables me to do for other people. City. Recoveries jump by more than 40%. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at HearstNP.com. The number of Midland County residents to have tested positive for coronavirus and then recovered increased by 105 in one day. The Midland Health Department reported the 40.8% increase on the same day that health officials were asked about what appeared to be a lack of updates in the number of people who have recovered from COVID-19. The statistics now show an increase from 257 to 362. Earlier in the day, health and city leaders said health department officials were likely having trouble contacting those residents they previously learned came down with coronavirus. Even though health department officials are trying to do all of the contact tracing they can do, we need them to answer the questions, Patrick Payton, Midland mayor, said, because what's happening is we're losing connection with people who are not helping us understand what they recovered. While recoveries rose, so did confirmed cases by 50 on Thursday. The total number of cases during the pandemic increased to 1,070. Active cases fell from 744 to 689. Midland County officials also said Thursday that they are worried about the increase of cases that started after Memorial Day weekend and continued in July. This week alone, there have been 298 cases reported, or nearly 28% of the total since March. Thursday's coronavirus report also continued recent trends, including the 20 and 30-somethings making up most of the cases, and community transmission being the leading source of exposure. Basin PBS seeks artist for mural on Ritz Theater building. By J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis, at HearstNP.com. Based in PBS, in conjunction with Odessa Arts and the Arts Council of Midland, has put out a call for local artists to create a mural for the newly renovated Ritz Theater. The organization invites professional artists or teams to submit qualifications to design and complete a mural to be installed on the back wall of the historic theater located in downtown Midland. The theater is now the home of Basin PBS. The mural will be about 144 square feet and should speak to the investment of Basin PBS has in West Texas and the investment West Texas has made in Basin PBS. The call to open to any artist in the Basin PBS viewing area, including Andrews County, Brewster, Crane, Ector, Glasscock, Howard, Jeff Davis, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Presidio, Reagan, Upton, Ward, and Winkler counties. The Ritz Theater was constructed in 1928 and operated as a movie house through the 1980s. From 1985 to 2010, the property housed local religious services, hosted Spanish language film screening, and served as a nightclub. In 2014, Basin PBS acquired the use of the building and began extensive renovations, thanks in part to considerable public funding. Basin PBS began operation from the Ritz in 2019. The budget for the project is $5,000. Artists can apply at bit.ly/2DSJOTN. MPD. Gunfire lands two men in jail. From staff reports. Two Midland men are facing multiple second-degree felony charges in connection with a shooting that occurred Wednesday in South Midland, according to a press release from the city's spokeswoman. Jarsavian Ingram, 19, and Damar Polk, 19, are charged with three counts each of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. Ingram is being held on a $150,000 bond for the three charges. Polk is also being held on a $150,000 bond for the three charges. Midland police responded Wednesday at about 6 p.m. to Midland Memorial Hospital emergency room in reference to two gunshot victims. After the initial investigation, officers discovered the shooting occurred in the 500 block of Jackson Street. One victim was shot in the face and shoulder, while the other victim was shot in the wrist. The incident occurred after the two suspects, identified as Ingram and Polk, robbed another victim of 1 ounce of marijuana. The two victims attempted to go after Ingram and Polk when they came into gunfire from the suspect's vehicle. Both subjects were later apprehended at the intersection of Terrell Street and Dakota Avenue. The investigation is ongoing. Ellen Noel Museum Creates Mask Contest by J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hearstnp.com. The Ellen Noel Art Museum has launched a /Mask Up Odessa contest to help encourage the community to wear a mask. The museum hopes to spread the message that wearing a mask is important, not only for individual safety, but also for the health of others and loved ones, according to a press release. The museum is asking artists to help create a poster that encourages community members to wear their face coverings around town. Judges that will select the winning posters include Ellen Noel Art Museum Executive Director Sheila Perry, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm, and Odessa Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Renee Earls. The winning poster will be printed out and available for local businesses to use at no cost. To submit posters, visit noelartmuseum.org/maskupodessa, and the form must be completed. Entry is free for the contest. The first place winner will receive a $100 gift card to Michael's and a $150 gift certificate for museum classes. Second place will receive a $50 gift card to Michael's and $100 gift certificate for classes. Third place will receive a $25 gift card to Michael's and a $50 certificate to museum classes. Every entry will receive a $25 gift certificate toward Ellen Noel Art Museum classes. The contest deadline is midnight on July 31st. Winners will be announced August 10th. Myers. Midland Memorial Hospital will not be testing budesonide treatment. By Caitlin Randall. CRANDLE at MRT.com. Midland Memorial Hospital will not be testing budesonide, a steroid that has recently gained media attention after being touted as a silver bullet for COVID-19 by an Odessa doctor. He said there were legal and ethical issues with running any kind of drug trial, and because MMH is not a research facility, hospital officials were not open to testing any drugs. That's not something we're set up to do or would consider, Myers said during a press conference. A general practitioner in Odessa, Dr. Richard Bartlett, has said in several interviews with news and radio stations that he's treated dozens of patients with an inhaled form of budesonide for COVID-19. He's claimed early intervention with the steroid has led to his patients having a 100% survival rate. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Larry Wilson has previously said there is no evidence to support Bartlett's claims in any medical studies or literature. Wilson on Thursday encouraged residents to do their own research and form their own opinions about the multitude of drugs that have been discussed as possible treatments. He said the hospital is successfully testing COVID-19 patients with convalescent plasma and remdesivir, and added that they are continually staying up to date on the latest therapies. Wilson also shifted the conversation towards slowing the spread of the virus rather than focusing on treating those who become infected, saying, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure."
Hello, this is Michael reading an additional article published in the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Friday, July 10th, 2020. ORMC doctor explains use of steroids with patients, by J.C. Lewis. Medical Center Health System CEO and President Russell Tippin said MCH is treating 50 coronavirus patients on Thursday morning, the highest they have had at the hospital. "The eighth floor is becoming full," Tippin said during a coffee and conversation at Odessa College. "The hospital has moved to add 30 beds into another building, and they started to move patients into the building Wednesday night. We have done a very good job of being prepared and staying prepared," he said. "Staffing is becoming the biggest problem," he said. "The hospital has been able to control the environment the staff has been exposed to in the hospital, but has been unable to control what they are exposed to outside of the hospital." Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohith Saravanan said when people think they might have coronavirus, they should stay home. He said don't go seek care to reduce risks, but there are specific reasons for people to go seek care. Those reasons are on the CDC website, and there is a self-checker on the website at bit.ly/2ZDTR2Y. He said the majority of people, even if they feel sick, will not need acute hospital care. The best option for the majority of people to do is isolate at home to prevent community spread. He said he would assume that if anyone is sick with any of the coronavirus symptoms, then that person probably has it. A test isn't going to heal a person, and instead, tests are coming back later because labs are becoming overwhelmed. He said people need to quarantine if they are showing symptoms. Dr. Richard Bartlett has been treating patients with inhaled budesonide. Saravanan said the public needs to understand that the majority of people being treated at an outpatient doctor's office is the 80% of people who will not require acute hospitalization. The patients the hospitals have been treating are sicker than the people going to an outpatient doctor's office. Coronavirus patients being admitted to the hospitals are being treated with steroids if they require high levels of oxygen or are on ventilators, but they are injected, not inhaled. He said that inhaled budesonide is undergoing scientific studies during this time to see how it can help coronavirus patients. ORMC CEO and President Stacy Brown said the hospital's biggest challenge has been staffing. ORMC is bringing in agency support since the nursing shortage West Texas has been experiencing for a while has only gotten worse. She said ORMC is treating 14 patients with 10 patients on ventilators, which is a record for ventilator patients. In our case, we are seeing that a lot of the patients are older, she said. Most of them are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. For the most part, they aren't the ones out in the community really actively engaging in things like younger people. I think what's happening is that they're getting exposed through family and friends. As of Wednesday, the Ector County Health Department reported that 20 to 29-year-olds compose 468 positive coronavirus cases in the county. It is the age group with the largest amount of positive cases, followed by 30 to 39-year-olds with 340 cases.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, July 10, 2020. Local. Patient, young painter. Clay Manera works at painting his water bottle Thursday before it is cut to make a recycle project into Chihuly Art outside Midland Shared Spaces with Keep Midland Beautiful and Clue Crew Club. Top 10 streaks at 105 or over. With the National Weather Service calling for high temperatures of 105 degrees or higher through at least Wednesday of next week, here is a list of the most consecutive days of 105-degree temperatures in Midland's recorded history. 1. June 25 through July 3, 1994, 9. 2. June 14 through 19, 2011, 2016. 3. July 3 through 7, 2016, 2015. 3. June 18 through 22, 1951, 5. 4 tied for 5th. 10 tied for 9th. Source, National Weather Service. MCPL program continues. Midland County Public Library is offering virtual and in-person programs for National Summer Learning Week through today. The virtual programs are posted to the library's Facebook page at the time listed. The entire collection of MCPL's virtual programs may be accessed anytime on the library's YouTube page or website. In-person programs, such as library lunches and take and make, are designed to limit person-to-person contact and encourage social distancing. Library lunches continue through August 7 at the downtown branch. Today's schedule, theme, celebrate the future leaders of tomorrow. 10 a.m., virtual family arts and crafts, terracotta paint splash, online. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., take and make, when I grow up printable at both branches. Noon to 1 p.m. Library lunches. Choose a free book or future leader craft pack. 3 to 4 p.m. Teen Leadership Board and Planning Video Conference via Zoom online. Washington Pool is open today. The city's pools, Doug Russell and Washington Family Aquatic Center, are open on alternating days during coronavirus pandemic. Washington is open today for 2 3-hour sessions, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Passes are $3 and go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before opening. Passes are good only for the day of purchase. How sick are you? Midland Memorial Hospital offers a nurse triage program, 68 Nurse. The program is designed to help people determine whether their health situation warrants a trip to the emergency room. Midland residents can call the line by dialing 686-8773. The program is free and available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Local nurses are available to help you determine the best place to receive care for your situation. 68 Nurse can help you save time and money by directing you to the most appropriate health care option, whether it's a neighborhood clinic, urgent care center, emergency room, or just staying home. Know a member of the military coming home? Military families can call 352-0785 or email Vicki Gomez, ZEMOGV@cableone.net, when they know their member of the military is flying into Midland International Airport so the Permian Basin Welcome Home Committee can be there to greet them. Honor those who served. There are many organizations in operation right here in the Permian Basin that are at the task of serving all kinds of needs for present and former members of our military. Some of them are Show of Support, 687-2167, Honor Our Troops, 889-0177, Real Thanks, 528-6633, Centers, 570-1084, Midland College Veterans Affairs Office, 685-4511, Permian Basin Welcome Home Committee, 366-3458, Soldiers of Today and Yesterday, 631-3429.
The Opinion Page. Opinion Extra from Dr. Nicholas Steinauer of the Austin American Statesman. This untold COVID story worries ER physicians. Over the past several months, COVID-19 has become part of our daily lives. News headlines have taken center stage, broadcasting the latest data and confirmed cases. Just this weekend, our own mayor reported Austin area intensive care units are in danger of being overrun in the next 10 days to 2 weeks if the number of people admitted to the hospital continues its current pace. Last week, the White House announced Austin had the highest positivity rate in the nation. But there's a bit of an untold story here. One that we, emergency health care providers, have been watching unfold over the past several weeks, and it's a situation that everyone must be aware of. In the effort to be cautious about social distancing and limiting trips outside the home, Texans have inadvertently stopped getting critical emergency care. Concern about entering emergency rooms because of the coronavirus has resulted in a drastic drop in emergency care provided. The numbers are troubling. A recent national survey found nearly half of Americans have delayed medical care because of COVID-19, and 11% of those who delayed care saw worsened health conditions as a result. Here in Austin, we saw ER visits drop by almost 50%. Some of this is expected, as less travel equates to fewer car accidents and the like. However, we also saw significant drops in strokes and heart attacks, which reflects patients fearing to come to the hospital when they need it most. Avoiding or delaying critical health care can have deadly results. Patients are suffering worsened health conditions, and many are dying at home simply because they were afraid to go to an emergency room. In many cases, these consequences were entirely avoidable with proper, timely medical care. Following its COVID-19 outbreak, New York City reported an 800% increase in at-home deaths due to fear of contracting the virus in hospitals. We must not allow this to repeat in Texas, and certainly not in Austin. The thought of loss of life is troubling enough. Imagine knowing that that loss could have been prevented with a short drive to the emergency room. The most common and life-threatening delays in care are from patients with heart disease, stroke, and sepsis. Stroke victims in particular have shown a dangerous trend of delaying care during the pandemic. New research shows patients are arriving at hospitals and treatment centers an average of 160 minutes later during COVID-19. When every second counts, this can be a matter of life and death. COVID-19 may have changed daily lives in many ways, but emergency rooms have stood and remain a constant pillar that the communities can rely on. With patient safety always the top priority, emergency care providers are going above and beyond in new health protocols. Some of the steps being taken include rigorous sanitation protocols, stringent screening processes, mobile units for patient care and procedures, and separate areas for those suspected of having COVID-19. Emergency physicians will continue to go the extra mile to take every precaution possible to ensure a safe, reliable space for every patient who needs it. Austinites must do their part also. Awareness is the first step. Being ready to take action without pause is the second step. Patients should seek immediate care for symptoms including chest pain, shortness of breath, weakness, tingling, or blurred vision. A health emergency is just that, an emergency. It requires urgent, specialized care, and there should be no question, hesitation, or delay in getting that care. As much as we work together to battle a pandemic, we must also work together to ensure proper health care is not neglected. We all want to be safe. Social distancing, washing hands, and wearing a mask help. Staying home is also safe, but when you need care, you must trust we are here to provide the right care at the right time, at the right place. Dr. Steinauer is the Emergency Department Medical Director of Ascension Seton Medical Center, Austin, and a member of the Texas College of Emergency Physicians. Obituaries and death notices. Sonata Acosta Marquez passed away on July 7th in Midland. She was 76 years old. She was born in Castellon, Texas, and raised in Midland. Funeral services viewing will be at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel on Friday, July 10th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Funeral services will begin on Saturday, July 11th at 10 a.m. at Luella Garcia Pipkin, followed with interment at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Barbara Nolan, 87, of Midland, passed away July 8th. The family will receive guests from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, July 10th at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral service will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, July 11th at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Rest Haven North Cemetery. Ramon Leyba, Jr., 51, of Midland, passed away July 4th. Viewing will be from 4 to 9 p.m. Monday, July 13th at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. Tuesday, July 14th at Elevate Church, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. William Bill Huckabee, 77, of Midland, passed away July 8th. Private graveside service will be held. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Friday, July 10th, 2020. Section A. Abbott halts elective surgeries. Medical Center Hospital opens another area for COVID patients amid surge. By Laura Dennis. On the same day, Medical Center Health System reported its 12th COVID-19 related death. Texas Governor Greg Abbott shut down elective surgeries in Ector County and other counties across Texas as case numbers surge. MCH CEO Russell Tippin Thursday said elective surgeries are a big part of what helps keep MCH financially stable, and said Thursday's new order is different from Abbott's previous elective surgery order. The scary part now is when I read the order, it is open-ended, Tippin said via a CBS 7 and Odessa American Zoom call. The last time he rolled this out, there was a specific 30-day window. This does not seem to have an end date. Tippin acknowledged that he and MCH officials had already discussed doing something on their own again in regards to elective surgeries, but the governor's mandate came down before they reached a decision. He said he found out from State Representative Brooks Landgraf about 1 p.m. Thursday that surgeries were shut down. The elective surgery portion of our business is a giant part of money-making, Tippin said. You can't take parts off the motor and run efficiently. It will have a big impact on what we do. MCH has already had some layoffs, and Tippin said nothing is off the table right now, and that MCH officials will need to be prepared to examine everything they do again. The hospital had 51 COVID-19 patients in-house as of Thursday afternoon, and Tippin said a second COVID floor opened last week is now full, and they are moving into the Wheatley Stewart building across the street from MCH's main building. The next day, the next 10 days will be critical, Tippin said, referring to the timeline from the 4th of July and an expected jump in positives due to the holiday. I do see this number increasing. Tippin said the maximum number of COVID patients that MCH could safely care for is 80 to 100, even though 50 is stressful on the staff. MCH can house 220 total patients. Abbott's ban on elective medical procedures covers more than 100 counties across much of the state. Surgeries and other procedures that are not immediately medically necessary, which have already been on hold in many of the state's biggest cities and several South Texas counties, are now barred in much of the state, from far West Texas to much of Central Texas, Southeast Texas, and the Gulf Coast. Those procedures can still take place in some, mostly rural parts of the state, including the Panhandle and the South Plains, as well as much of North and Northeast Texas, excluding Dallas County. We are freeing up more resources to address upticks in COVID-19 related cases, Abbott said in a statement. The state of Texas will continue to do everything we can to mitigate the spread of this virus and support our hospitals and healthcare professionals as they care for their fellow Texans. As of Wednesday, the number of confirmed COVID-19 patients hospitalized with the virus had reached a record high of 9,610, twice as many as there were on June 25th. But the pressure on hospitals is not evenly distributed around the state. Hospital capacity is currently most taxed around the state's biggest cities, as well as most of South Texas. Trevor Tankersley, MCH's Director of Communications, in an email, said the Wheatley Stewart Medical Pavilion is being used for critical care overflow patients and that it opens 20-plus beds for COVID patients. MCH on Thursday reported its 12th COVID-19-related death, which is the 13th Ector County death. The patient, an 87-year-old male, died Thursday morning. The patient was transferred from Big Bend Regional in Alpine and was admitted to Medical Center Hospital Wednesday. The patient had pre-existing conditions. MCH currently has 51 COVID-19 positive patients in-house. That includes 18 on 7 Central from Focused Care at Odessa, one from Andrews, one from Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation, 14 on 8 Central, which includes one from Reeves County, one from Focused Care at Odessa, one from Kermit, one from Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation, one from Permian Basin Community Center Group Home, 15 on CCU, which includes one from Focused Care at Odessa, 2 transfers from Fort Stockton, 4 on Wheatley Stewart Medical Pavilion second floor critical care overflow. Of those patients, there are 10 vented in critical care. Those numbers come from MCH on Thursday. Ector County numbers continue to be difficult to report as the Ector County Health Department stopped updating numbers daily, saying it was too much for a limited staff. The last time the numbers on the Ector County website were updated was Wednesday afternoon. Those numbers show 927 active cases with a total of 1,602 total cases. The site details that those numbers include seven thousand eight hundred 66 negative case tests and 10,406 tests overall, with 662 listed as recovered. The hospitalization rate, which includes MCH and ORMC, detailed 63 in the hospitals, with 31 in ICU and 17 on ventilators. The Texas Tribune Thursday reported Texas new confirmed cases of the coronavirus now make up around 14% of the U.S. total, measured by a seven-day average, a significantly higher proportion than its 9% share of the nation's population. Since July 1st, the U.S. has reported 358,027 new infections. Of those, 50,599 were in Texas. The governor's order applies to 11 of the state's 22 trauma service areas, J, K, M, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, and V, as well as Dallas County. News of the elective surgery suspension comes on the same day as Medical Center Hospital was awarded a $227,387 federal grant through the CARES Act, through the Department of Health and Human Services. ODC discusses grant applications, by Michael Merlot. The Odessa Development Corporation, ODC, during their Thursday meeting, discussed changes to their grant application process in which businesses receive assistance from ODC. ODC board member Chris Cole said during the meeting that the change to the process will help applicants who may have good business plans but lack the financial knowledge to fill out every aspect of their financial plans in the application, which may in the past have prevented people from getting ODC assistance. He said that it would benefit small business owners if they could also get some education throughout the application process, and also ask the compliance committee to develop an application process that would be more favorable for those individuals. ODC board member Gene Collins said that what happens when you deny, especially in the African American community, a group based on an application, word gets back, and it discourages other people in that community. We're constantly trying to tell people to come up and apply for some of the benefits, but when those who have been there talk with them, they feel it's not going to do any good, he said, adding that a lot of people applying for ODC assistance are hardworking people who are good at what they do, but don't have a master's in accounting or business. Collins said that organizations like the Black Chamber of Commerce, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and Odessa Chamber of Commerce could help bridge trust issues and gaps to help Odessa businesses and help address current concerns of people who may not be confident in business finance and planning. Wesley Burnett, the Economic Development Director for the ODC, for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said that the ODC would definitely work with other chambers in Odessa to bridge those gaps. ODC board member David Boughton asked if the University of Texas Permian Basin Small Business Development Center could assist in proving up business assistant applications and also begin working with that business owner to become more financially sophisticated from a reporting perspective, he said. He said that what ODC is looking at would be a pilot program to help small business owners in Odessa to be eligible for grant funds in order to create jobs and capital investment. UTPB Small Business Development Center, SBDC, business consultant Tyler Patton said that if somebody applies for a grant and isn't quite ready, then they could be referred to the SBDC. We would work with them to be able to put together those financial documents, and that's what we do every day, he said, adding that he was confident that they could sit down with most clients within a couple hours to get the pertinent information for ODC to make a decision. Cole said that the process will have multiple facets. We have a lot of room where we need to make up. It won't just be putting a billboard up. It will be some effort that I would like to see us put forth, he said, adding that they should strategically be inclusive to minority and underserved communities in Odessa. ODC board member Melanie Holman said that an education process would help strengthen existing businesses. I believe we need to touch those businesses, she said. ODC members voted unanimously to ask the compliance committee to look into the application process changes, which will then be brought back so ODC can vote on it. Burnett also told ODC members that he, City Manager Michael Marrero, and City Council members would be having a meeting regarding using CARES Act funds to create an emergency pool of funds for small business assistance. County Agrees to Overtime for Health Workers by Michael Bauer. The Ector County Commissioners Court, during a special meeting Thursday, unanimously voted to pay overtime to health department employees who had previously been exempt from overtime pay. Health Department Director Brandy Garcia told commissioners that 15 employees had been working since March 27th. They have been expected to be on call on weekends and to work overtime, Garcia said. They are exempt employees, so they are considered salary employees. I was requesting them to be paid for those hours. The court approved the motion to allow the increase and will go through the numbers at next week's meeting, which is scheduled for Tuesday. We are going to discuss options on how to get them compensated for that time, Garcia said. From what we've talked with different agencies in the state and from what we've been told, it would be local decision on how that's paid, Garcia said to the court during her presentation. EOC Director Ricky George and Garcia also asked for a COVID testing machine that can provide faster results at the jail and youth center. They have a result of within 45 minutes, I believe, Garcia said. There are different versions of it. The one at the health department is looking at getting us a 15-cartridge machine. It's still the same type of tests as the nasal testing, but it's just the 45-minute test result. We think that it would be beneficial for the jail and the youth center because that would help them do the testing within, and they wouldn't have to wait so long for the results. The court voted and approved it, also unanimously. The next step now, according to Garcia, is waiting on the price. We're just waiting on the cost, Garcia said. With COVID-19 cases increasing around the state, Garcia says it's crucial for everyone to remember that this pandemic is not over. Just need to remind everyone that we still have COVID in our community, Garcia said. We have to take the precautions and wear our masks. The masks are to protect those around us. Wash your hands and use hand sanitizer. We need to continue to do those things in order to protect our community. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Editor's note. Ector County last updated COVID-19 numbers Wednesday afternoon. Midland County, 1,070 confirmed, 19 deaths. Texas, 230,346 confirmed with 2,603,903 tested. Total Texas deaths, 2,918. U.S. cases, 3,047,671 total confirmed and 132,056 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or on the CDC website at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Sales tax down. The city of Odessa received its July sales tax check in the amount of $3,783,652.85. This amount includes the economic development sales tax of 1/4 cent. The City of Odessa will receive $3,026,922.28, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $756,730.57. Medical Center Hospital reported sales tax for July at $2,762,363, which is about 35.7% below this time last year. The city saw a decrease in sales tax revenue, with July's sales tax revenue total of $3,026,922.28, which reflects a $1,698,206.36, or 35.94%, as compared to July 2019. The year-to-date total sales tax revenue for fiscal year 2019-20 is up 24.08%, or $8,075,690.01, as compared to budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. In addition, the 2019-20 year-to-date amount is below the previous fiscal year-to-date amount by $7,466,377.80, or 15.21%. The city has budgeted $41,100,000 in net sales tax revenues for the current fiscal year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection. In other words, July's collection is based on May sales. Pet Clinic. The Humane Society, 7012 West Mockingbird Lane, has scheduled a pet clinic from 1 to 4 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Vaccinations are parvo distemper $10, bordetella $12, corona $10, rattlesnake vaccine $12, wormer $1, and feline leukemia $12. Nail trims are $3, ear cleaning $3, and flea tick prevention is also available for sale. For more information, call 257-4311 or visit tinyurl.com/y6wl3vle. Treasure Camp. The Odessa Bible Church and New Life Church has scheduled Treasure Camp, a 3-day marriage and parenting seminar for adults, along with a 3-day camp for their children, from 5:30 to 8:15 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday at Odessa Bible Church, 3901 Pembroke. The camp is open to parents and children pre-K through 5th grade. Infant and toddler care provided. A catered dinner for 3 nights for the entire family will be included. To register or for more information, call 337-3944 or visit tinyurl.com/YAQSCE6W. Sol Ross Blood Drive. Sol Ross State University has scheduled a blood drive from 1 to 6 p.m. July 28th and from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. July 29th in room 129 of the Pete P. Gallego Center. Masks are required. Donors will be tested for COVID-19 antibodies. Appointments are strongly encouraged. To make an appointment online, visit tinyurl.com/y77ytdjk or bloodhero.com. For more information, email health@solross.edu. Grande Cares presents scholarships to local high school seniors. Grande Communications, the Texas-based broadband Communications Company, recently presented scholarships and grant presentations as part of their Employee Philanthropy Club, Grande Cares. Permian Basin High School seniors Mackenzie McBurney and Rosemarie Lachia were awarded with Grande Employee Memorial Scholarship Fund scholarships for $830 and $500, respectively. These donations are part of Grande's scholarship program in honor of its deceased employees, the Grande Employee Memorial Scholarship Fund, where high school seniors in the company's markets can apply for funding. McBurney plans to major in criminology. Lachia will pursue pre-nursing at one of the five Texas universities she has been accepted to. Each Texas market received $1,000, and the Midland-Odessa market raised additional funds by selling T-shirts along with a generous donation from a Grande Cares board member who donated his entire bonus towards the scholarship program. In addition to grants and scholarships, Grande Cares drives much of the Grande's culture of giving through annual company-wide summer food drives and holiday outreach initiatives in each local market. Since the founding of the club in 2000, they have awarded more than $3.0 million in grants, donated thousands of holiday gifts to those in need, and collected tons of food for food banks and pantries across Texas. Cornyn reports Odessa Hospital to receive $227,000 in funds to expand testing. Medical Center Hospital was reportedly awarded a federal grant to expand coronavirus testing. U.S. Senator John Cornyn, Republican, Texas, announced through a press release that the federal grant that MCH was awarded was for $227,387. The funding, which was appropriated by Congress in March as part of the CARES Act, reportedly comes through the Department of Health and Human Services. MCH CEO Russell Tippin thanked Cornyn for the support. "We would like to thank the senator for all his work and help ensuring that the people of West Texas have more opportunities to be tested and educated on the COVID-19 virus. Medical Center Hospital is proud to be the leader in West Texas in COVID-19 care and testing. We look forward to ensuring our community and neighbors get the testing and the treatment they need to defeat this enemy that we are in battle with every day," Tippin said in an email. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services website, the HHS awarded more than $21 million to support the health center's COVID-19 response efforts. The majority of this investment, $17 million, supports 78 health center program lookalikes with funding to expand capacity for COVID-19 testing. As the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread across Texas, it's important that we in Washington do everything we can to make sure our healthcare professionals can meet this challenge head on, Cornyn stated in the press release. "I applaud the Trump administration for continuing to make testing in Odessa an important priority."
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.